This morning's reading is from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Charles is going to come and preach for us this morning, and I'm going to pray for him as he does. Lord God, we thank you for Charles. We thank you for the great gift that you have given him. We pray that you'd use that gift this morning as you speak into our hearts and lives through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Phil. Well, good morning, everyone. As you will be aware, we're about three quarters of the way through our present series of a faith that lasts. And the first one was based on the home, when Sheila spoke about Samuel. And then last Sunday, Phil spoke about being intentional. And that was based on the law. And today, the topic is be real. And that is based on that reading that Phil did for us a moment ago. Back in the 80s and 90s, some of us will remember the slogan, Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. Around that time, we were going on holiday to the Black Forest in Germany, and we had to drive across France, and as we were doing so, it was getting hotter and hotter. And we were getting very warm in the car and thirsty because we had no air conditioning at that time. And so as we drove along, we eventually saw a shop. And I stopped and went in and bought five small bottles of icy cold Coca-Cola. It was the real thing to cool us down and quench our thirst on that occasion. Now, even that was over 27 years ago, Andrew, our eldest son, can still remember that experience quite clearly. He remembers it because it was real. It actually happened, and he enjoyed the experience, and it has given him a great love for Coca-Cola. Not the best thing, perhaps. So people today are looking for something that is real, something that will have a lasting effect on their lives, their relationships, their careers, and their future. But sadly, they are looking in the wrong places and amongst the wrong people, getting addicted to drugs and alcohol and other dangerous substances. Things that are a hindrance rather than a help as they search for the meaning and purpose of life. People too have lost faith in the church. They don't see the church as being relevant to them any longer. One man said to a vicar, when he was inviting him along to a service, he says, I won't be going because there are too many hypocrites in the church. And the vicar's reply was, well, that may be true, but there's always room for a few more. Not the best answer, I must admit, because being a hypocrite, of course, is the opposite of being real. And none of us want to be labelled hypocrites, do we? So the fact that that man made that statement means that non-church people are watching those of us who do attend so to see if they can spot the difference between them and us. As the song puts it, they are watching you, watching all you do, hearing the things you say, Let them see the Saviour as he shines in you. Let his power control you every day. That's what it means to have a real faith, a real experience of Christ in our lives, and a real desire to live for him and serve him each day, so that our light will shine brightly for him in all that we do. A young woman was walking up and down the platform of York Station, waiting for her train to come in. And after a few moments, an elderly lady called across to her and said, "Excuse me, miss, but what is it that makes you look so happy?" The young woman went across to her and said, "I didn't realize I was looking happy." And then she shared her story of how she had accepted Jesus into her life and the difference that had made to her. And there on that platform was able to point that elderly person to the Lord Jesus. We can see from the short reading that we had this morning that the Apostle Paul was encouraging Timothy to go for the real thing, because here we see that a man of faith, Timothy, had been given a legacy of faith by two very important women of faith, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Now, their story of faith began around the year 45 AD. That was the year that Paul and Barnabas made their first journey, missionary journey, to the ancient city of Lystra. And you can see it there in between Iconium and Derbe. A lot happened on that first visit, because God used Paul and Barnabas to bring healing to a lame man. And as a result of that incident, as well as them preaching the gospel, the whole city misinterpreted the situation and began worshipping Paul and Barnabas. And they even wanted to offer up sacrifices to them. But Paul and Barnabas, when they realized what was happening, quickly corrected the people and pointed them to Jesus. But Jewish leaders who had opposed the message of the gospel came into the city and persuaded the multitudes. And as a result, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city of Lystra, leaving him for dead. But Paul got up, limped back into the city, broken and bruised, and then left for Derbe the following morning. And there he had a ministry amongst the people of that city also. But I believe that as a young boy, Timothy knew something about this. He may even have seen and experienced that for himself firsthand. And it was an experience that he would never forget. It made an indelible impression on him and may have helped convince him that Paul, as a preacher, was the real thing. There was nothing false or phony or superficial about this man. He practiced what he preached because he believed what he preached, and therefore preached it with conviction. I believe it was his sincere faith that enabled a foundation to be laid there at Lystra, where the people of that city, including Lois, Eunice, and Timothy, had to build on. These three, like many others, other sincere believers in the Old Testament, were sincerely waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And in Luke 2, we read about Simeon and Anna, who waited patiently there in the temple. And when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple, Simeon took him up in his arms and praised God, because he was rejoicing that he had seen the promised Messiah, the one who was going to redeem Israel. As we think of Paul, who is here writing this letter to Timothy, so that he might grow up in his newfound faith in Christ, because he had a vested interest in him, God used Paul at that time to lead some of the people in Lystra to faith in Jesus. and later to encourage them along the way. And that's why he went back from Derbe into Lystra again and spent some time ministering to the people. And among them were these three people, this young boy Timothy, his mother Eunice, and grandmother Lois. That is why Paul in verse 2 said these words. He said, "My dear son." He was not Paul's biological son, but instead his spiritual son, having led him to faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul could identify with his son in the faith, Timothy, and encourage him further along the way. So I want to look at this under three brief headings, I hope. Foundation, application, and proclamation. And first of all, we look at foundation. And I know Phil touched on this briefly last Sunday when he was speaking. But when I was preaching at the 10 o'clock United service on the 3rd of June, the theme then was the two builders, which was one of the stories Jesus told during his Sermon on the Mount. And an example I used for building on the wrong foundation was the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You may remember that. It is 800 years old, 179 feet high, and at the present time it's 17 feet, I believe, of plumb. And even though it sits on a 10-foot base of concrete, it is still tilting a little bit each year. Eventually, it will topple over completely, because the 10-foot concrete base is not resting on a solid foundation. The name Pisa means marshy, and I think that says it all. It was built on marshy ground. We can all learn a lesson from this, so that there is nothing questionable or marshy about the foundation we are building our lives on today. The Apostle Paul had Timothy's best interest at heart as he reminded him of the foundation on which he was building his life. It was rock solid, being tried and tested by his grandmother and by his mother. A faith that was not just Old Testament based, but was the fulfillment of the prophecy where Christ was at the center. Paul said to the people of Corinth, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Or as a hymn puts it, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." A group of clergy were discussing which translation of the Bible was the best. So one man said that he thought his translation, the translation that he used, was the best. Another one said, "No," he said, "I think the one that I use is the best." And then a third one piped up and said, "I believe that my mother's translation of the Bible is the best." And the other clergy said, "You know, what was that translation?" And he said, "It was the Everyday Life translation." The other clergy said, "We have never heard of that one before." So he said, "My mother translated the Bible into everyday life, and it is the best translation I've ever read." Timothy had a great translation of the Bible presented to him in the life of his mother and grandmother. They had a faith that was sincere. It was worked out into everyday life. And that sincere faith had also found its way in the life of Timothy. When we talk about having a sincere faith, we need to be sure that it is based on Christ and not on our own preconceived ideas that are not in keeping with the Word of God. Saul of Tarsus was sincere in what he was doing when he persecuted Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to bring them back bound to Jerusalem so that he could have them punished and even put to death. He believed that he was doing God's will. He was sincere about what he was doing, but he was sincerely wrong. It was only when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road that his life was changed. And then, of course, we have Nicodemus, that great ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night to find out how Jesus could do the things he was doing, because no other ruler could do them. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to have a change of heart." And that's true of all of us. So what kind of impact is our faith having on the next generation? Is it influencing them for good, as it did Timothy, or is it turning them away? The fact is that it is having an impact, whether we want it to or not. Let's hope it is the right one. And then the next point is application, applying the message of Christ to ourselves. I remember working in a parish, in the parish of Chapel and Riffrith in Derbyshire, and as a means of outreach, the church people were encouraged to open their homes and invite their friends and neighbours along. And then one of the Church Army Mission team would go along and try and lead a discussion about the Christian faith. The vicar came along to the one that I was leading, and he didn't say very much during the course of the evening, but he was taking it all in. But I've always remembered these words of his as we came towards the end of the evening, when he said, "Remember, God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren." We are sons and daughters of God the moment we put our faith and trust in the one whom he sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a personal commitment that we make when we apply the message of the gospel to our own lives and respond accordingly. Lois and Eunice couldn't do it for Timothy. They laid the foundation by showing him the way through their teaching and example. But he had to accept it or reject it for himself. The same is true with each one of us. Our parents couldn't do it for us, and neither can we do it for our children. We can encourage them and show them the way and pray faithfully for them, but the response has to come from them if they are going to experience a faith that is real. As you may have heard David say, David, whom we all know, when he was renewing his baptism vows, that he was 14 years of age when he was baptized. But even then, the promises he made did not mean very much at the time. But during the years that followed, the faith he was baptized into became a reality in his life. And today, as he has renewed his baptism vows, the vows that he made years ago, as an outward testimony of his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because the Catechism of the Anglican Church says this about baptism, that it is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. It wasn't a visible sign when he was first baptized, but as he grew older, having committed his life more fully to Christ, what he has done now today is indeed an outward and visible sign of the grace of God that has been at work in his life. And then the final point is proclamation, witnessing to our faith in Christ. Now, when we hear the word proclamation, we immediately think of preaching, which is something that some people loathe and other people love, depending on where we're at on our spiritual journey. And it's also if the sermon is interesting or not. Someone once said that preaching is not the best means of communication, and I'd be inclined to agree with that, because when we think of it, how much of the sermon that we hear on a Sunday can we remember during the week? That's why it's so important that we have them recorded on the internet, that we can go back and listen to them over and over again. But there are other ways of communication. And we're thinking here of the example of the woman at the well that Jesus met there, who is believed to be the largest woman that we read about in the Bible, because she was a woman of some area. Seriously, she was a despised woman, looked down upon by other Jews, because she was a Samaritan. Her life was completely changed when she met Jesus at the well. And as a result of that encounter, she wanted everyone in the town to meet Jesus. She said, "Come, see a man who has told me all things that ever I did." Could this be the Messiah? Many of the Samaritans believed in Jesus because of her testimony. Paul reminds Timothy of the good foundation that has been laid for him by his mother and grandmother, and knowing that he had made their faith his faith by applying it to himself. Paul was in no doubt whatsoever about this young man's relationship with Jesus. Now he is preparing him for the work of proclamation, sharing the good news of his faith in Christ with others. And that's why Paul said in verse 6, a verse we didn't read this morning, these words. He said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Timothy by nature was a timid person, but Paul was encouraging him to be bold for the sake of Christ, because he had a great ministry ahead of him. And Paul had so much faith in him and confidence in him that he took him on the next missionary journey with him. May we give thanks for those who have helped us on our journey of faith. May we protect it and guard it as we would a precious treasure. May we build on it and grow in it and become mature in it, as we read and study God's word, and as we spend time with him each day in prayer. Because the more we grow in our faith, the more we will want to pass it on to others, who will faithfully then pass it on to others as well. God wants us to be the people he has designed us to be, to fulfill the plans and purposes that he has for us. He wants us to be real with him and with others, to reflect his Son, the Lord Jesus, being transformed into his image. This is what we call transforming Christianity from religion and ritual into a meaningful and dynamic way of life. This helps others to become curious and interested in how our faith affects our daily lives. The chances of the changes in us and the character of God being formed in us speaks of a God who is relevant, interactive, and real in the world today. And so to help us along, our manual for day-to-day living is the Word of God, because it enables us to build on the right foundation, which is Jesus, and then to apply this message to ourselves, and then to be able to share it with others in word and deed. But we can only do this when we, each one of us, have a faith that is real. Amen.